Bonjour et bienvenue à Mega City Club de Libre, le podcast sur la plus grande bande dessinée de la galaxie. Je m'appelle Eamon Clark et je suis dans Angoulême avec mon grand ami Tony Usman. Salut Tony.
Salut. Yeah. You've gone Joey Barton. You did what? To warn me, you'd do that.
Yeah. Just for the listeners, just to explain, we are in France. We're in Angoulême at the Angoulême Festival, and that is the sum total of all of my friends.
Don't do yourself down. You were ordering things last night at the restaurant with a little accent, I noticed. Yeah.
The rest of the podcast will be in English. So, yes, we are in Angoulême at the International Comic Festival.
We are. Cheeky little cafe just around the corner from here, aren't we?
Yes, we've stepped out into a little quiet cafe around the corner, all quietish. And we wanted to talk a little bit about the festival and about one or two key creators. I don't know, Tony, if you were able to sum up what is the Angoulême Festival.
So, Angoulême, for those who don't know, is about 300 miles south of Paris. Just north of Bordeaux, so which makes it sound all very sunny, but I've never been here and it hasn't rained, right. To be fair, and it is rather cold this morning, although it's January, let's face it. So it is all year round. It's kind of a centre for comics in a way. There's the massive Musée de Papier, which is the big comic museum here, which is open all year. There's a Hugo Pratt bus. You know, all the street signs are... Have you noticed this yet? All the street signs are word balloons.
Yeah.
Even the shop signs in, like, the shopping centre all have these little word balloons. So, and everywhere you go, there's murals. There's a Goscinny mural.
I just walked past the Goscinny Asterix one, yeah.
Yeah, so nice. There's a Drouillet one, which is quite well known. It's a massive mural.
Right.
If you go up to this, these steps... Because it's kind of a fort... So the way, not exactly full, but it's on a hill with a massive cathedral and the Hotel de Ville, which is a massive town hall in the centre. And that's kind of the centre for it. But there's maybe six major tents, like massive builds,
right?
That contain different kinds of elements of comics. So the De Ville is the one that has all the big companies like Casterman and Soleil. And there is a little bit of a DC element there. Spirou has it, which is like the kids' comic, has a little bit in there. And then there's another tent, which is a bit like the Fantagraphics tent.
Right.
Starts off with the bigger companies, so like kind of the French equivalent of Fantagraphics. And if you keep walking down through this sort of winding tent, right down at the bottom, then you get the smaller, like our friend Xavier, he's got a shop that sells small press. He's got a stall down there,
and right.
The people who do Scarce, which is kind of a French version of the Tomorrow's imprint,
right?
They sell theirs down there, stuff like that. But you've got some tents that sell do kids workshops. You've got the Cathedral does stuff, and they usually put on like a light show. In fact, we went to the light show outside of the Hotel de Ville last night, didn't we?
We were standing outside that, trying to meet up with some people, then go for a drink and something to eat,
And they sort of, there's a light show on the side of that, which is incredible.
Yeah.
So it kind of takes over the centre of the town. And as you walk through the town, there's literally loudspeakers on lampposts that announce in French signings, events, stuff like that. The main reason I'm here is for the foreign rights. So this is what's called the Foreign Rights Tent. If you pay attention to what's happening at LICAF, the Lakes, they've kind of announced a similar but smaller version of it. And it's where all the big companies worldwide come in and they'll sell the rights for their comic in Polish or the rights for their comic in Korean and stuff like that.
Okay.
Add to that, there's a massive series of awards that happen. There's a kind of a kids award. There's a... what's called In Competition. So and that encompasses manga, American comics, especially bande dessinée. But the if you get In Competition, you get this sticker on the front of your book, and it does sell a lot more. And then there's the Grand Prix, which I know we're going to talk about in a minute. But also amongst that you get is just from here, if you go left and keep walking, there's an optician's, and they've cleared out all their glasses and they've got like a comic exhibition in there. And if you go a bit further in there, there's a sort of somebody's house. It's this sort of avant-garde comic printing zine exhibition as well. And as the weekend hits, as we record this, it's a Friday, certainly Saturday and Sunday, you'll see people, some people have like three-wheeler bicycles, and they cycle them into the centre, and then they'll be sending comics and prints off the back of them.
Oh, okay.
And stuff like that.
Right.
So it really takes over, and everything here is comics.
Yes.
Definitely from Wednesday through to Sunday. Four-day festival, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. But Wednesday is when a lot of the foreign rights business gets done.
Right.
To such a point where you can't find a restaurant to book. We have a buddy, so we went out last night because he found a nice restaurant.
Yeah.
But it's very difficult to find somewhere to eat, even, you know, even at lunchtime.
Yeah. So I was going to mention that because Angoulême's been running for 50 years.
Yeah. This is 51st.
51st, yeah. This one, yeah, yeah. I think. And it's, as you say, it's in this old medieval stone built city. And I know, if people are listening to this when this comes out, the weekend this comes out, your previous episode of the ACP podcast, which we'll talk about in a moment, you were going to do a little bit of a guide to Angoulême.
Yeah, more like how to get there.
How to get there.
Yeah, if you fancy going, this would be how you do it.
Right.
Because there's very few hotels here.
That's the thing. Yeah. So what I'd heard was, always heard was, that all the hotels get booked solid by the festival.
The big companies will book. The Mercure is the big hotel.
Right.
That's got a bar, which is quite famous for the English contingent drinking heavily in there. I was in there when we left Europe, and there was a lot of drink being consumed in that bar that night. And they have the Casterman have a big banquet in there last night as well. But there's a couple of other little hotels which don't look great, especially by the train station. I don't know if you saw them when you came to the train station. Yeah, yeah. But yeah, so it's prior to Airbnb, you kind of had to know people and you'd stay.
Yeah, that's what I heard. You needed to know somebody to find somewhere to stay. And now Airbnb just has changed that.
Yeah, people sort of open up their houses.
Yeah.
The people I'm over with, who I normally stay with, but I ended up staying somewhere else because there was loads of us in the house, stay with a lovely lady on name checker called Catherine, who is she's I'm guessing in her 60s, nice lady, you know, with a family have left and flown the coop, and she opens her house up to comics every year.
Yeah.
But every time we go and see her, we bring her comics.
Right.
And she sort of would sit there and read. Well, they're French, aren't they? So they love comics. And she's got big piles of comics all around the house and stuff like that. I think even your
kind
of breakfast, they've got like a...
It's all decorated with comics.
Yeah.
And as you say, the city, the shops are all like, most shops seem to have a few...
At least something.
In the window. It's a bit like when the lake started, that the whole town of whatever it was... Was that Keswick or whatever?
Kendall.
Just was taken over by comics, yeah.
Yeah, very much. So I was speaking to John Freeman about that. They very much modelled the lakes on a sort of smaller version of this.
Of Angoulême, right.
I think there's a... sort of wine shop next door that's got they've got a Black Sad painting on the window.
Yes, I just saw that. Yeah,
that's great.
Yeah. You mentioned competitions because, I mean, the big competition is the Grand Prix, which is given to an active international creator every year.
Yeah.
Obviously, all the big sort of European names have had awards in the past here, like Giraud, Drulier, you mentioned, Hugo Pratt, subject of my last episode.
Oh, good.
Or will be, you know.
Yeah.
There's been international winners: Spiegelman, Eisner, Chris Ware, our favourite Bill Waterston from Calvin and Hobbes, Robert Crumb, that we've done an episode about on the Never Iron Anything.
Yeah, that strange episode.
Let's say Robert Crumb, slightly strange man. And we now know this year's winner because it was the finalist this year, Daniel Clowes.
Yeah.
Catherine Meurice, who I don't know.
Yeah, she's the one of the three we don't know, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Posy Simmons.
Yeah.
Who I think we talked about when we did the Ronald Searle podcast episode of your podcast.
Done. Yeah.
And Posy Simmons this year is the winner.
Yeah, we only found out, was it yesterday?
Day before yesterday. Yeah.
Yeah, it's because I had her on my race card a second.
Right.
I thought it was going to be Cat Klaus.
Yeah.
I'm over the moon. It's her because, like you were saying, we've got an English.
First time a British creator has won.
Yeah. And she is a class act. You know? Yeah. She's great. And I think you were pointing this out over the meal last night. She's very beloved in France.
Yes.
Which I think. Were you saying she went to?
She attended the Sorbonne in the early 60s. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was lucky enough on the way here to stop off at the Pompidou Centre in Paris because they've got an exhibition of hers, of some of her original artwork there. It's only four rooms, but it was really great and enjoyed it. Got the pamphlet for you as well.
Thank you, mate. Yeah.
So, Posy Simmons is the Grand Prix winner this year, which means she gets a big exhibition here next year.
Yep. I'm not sure if she's here because
I don't think she is.
She's not very well.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm glad she would. Although I'm a massive Klaus fan. I think his recent book is astoundingly brilliant. And,
On your podcast, you have talked about Monica by Daniel Klaus, which you and I have both read and both thought was extraordinary. Mm. And he is here somewhere, isn't he, Daniel Klaus?
We think so, because he's been in Paris couple of days, and he's down here, we think, now.
And I think he's doing a talk tomorrow, although it seems to have dropped off the festival app. So, but anyway, it's in the programme, so, you know. I hope we're not going on a false march to some auditorium somewhere. But anyway, because I know Adam Falp and Jordan might be wanting to tag along.
Yeah.
Okay, so here we are. What other exhibitions are there on that I should probably try and tick off? I'm going to mention quickly, because we've done it on the podcast recently, Requiem Vampire Night, or Requiem Chevalier Vampire. There's an Olivier Ledroit exhibition here.
Yeah, he was signing yesterday. We walked
was
past
he? Right.
a massive line for his signing. Right. And it's worth noting here that a different thing here is when they sign in a book, they draw and paint in it.
Right.
Nearly always for free.
Oh, okay.
So if you, I know you love a queue to get something signed. You'll be a few hours in those queues. Yeah. We've had a couple of no-brow creators here, and literally, there's an art shop just up the road, which I'm fortunate knew where it was, who've, like, I've had to run off and get them more paints, more, you know, fine liners and stuff like that. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
So it's quite a thing there.
Right.
Yeah. The other thing is, if you're going to get signed, what often, depending on the company and the creator, they give you, so for example, I got something signed by Leo, the French creator, a couple of years ago, and I bought the book from, I think it was Dargard, and they give you a token. So it's not like in New York where people bring a suitcase and empty 45 comics from Rob Liefeld on the table. You kind of have to buy it, I think, from the stall in order to get it signed, if that makes sense.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
They do something similar with Jock at Thought Bubble because he's so popular.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. He was here a couple of years ago. I think he's a fairly regular kind of guy here.
Okay. So what other exhibitions are on that I should probably go and see?
Well, the exhibitions only opened yesterday lunchtime.
Right.
Weirdly. So I think our friend Simon Russell went off to one yesterday. Thierry Smolderen.
Okay.
Went and saw his, I think. And that didn't open until like 1:45. What a bizarre time. I don't know why that is. But I did the Roichi Ikigami one last year, and I got there early, about 9:30 for like a 10 o'clock opening, and there was a massive queue already on the Thursday.
Right.
So it's worth getting there. But you've got, firstly, the Museum de Papier, which is a bit of a hike out of town. It's about probably a 20-minute walk. It's fine going there, Heyman.
Right.
Yeah. On the way back, it's like 45-degree hills. Yeah.
It's back up the hill.
Yeah. But that's more than... That's brilliant. I mean, I made a note of some of the OA, the original art you can see there. And it's just outstanding. So there's Tardy pages, there's Crumb pages, Charlie Brown, Snoopy, pages.
It's great.
Yeah. Hergé, Suge, which is the sort of... the manga underground guy is quite hot at the moment,
right?
Which is, I thought was unusual, but he's amongst all the greats, and loads of Eisner pages, and they do have a sort of small American section, so they had some Joe Orlando stuff as well. So I mean, if you had to see one thing, I would recommend going there.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. And it's never just that room full of art. You know, they've got old copies of Tintin magazine and stuff like that, which it wasn't just Tintin.
Right.
And then it had the range of books, you know.
Sure.
So I would do that. What else is there? There's Thierry Smolderen, who I'm a fan of. They've got... we'll get onto this, I'm sure, in a minute, but they've got a couple of manga ones as well.
Yes.
Hiroiki Samura and Shinichi Sakamoto, both not your modern kind of manga, you know, OMG running about big eye kind of schoolgirl manga, but more of a sort of traditional is the wrong word, slightly older manga, more seriously toned stuff. I think which they're more fond of in France, which is the Ikigami last year. If you go to the, so that's in the Museum d'Angoulême, which is, you walk in it and you think, this is a natural history museum because it's like a dinosaur skeleton.
Okay.
And then you have to sort of climb the stairs and each floor is different.
Right.
They had the Druyer in there last year as well. But if you go there, they also have the books from the previous exhibitions that you can buy.
Oh, right.
So I think 3 years ago they had the Wally Wood exhibition that Macron came and opened.
Yes, I remember. There was a big fuss, wasn't there?
Yeah. I don't think any of our prime ministers tend to open Thought Bubble or anything, do they?
Can't see Rishi Sunak come to Thought Bubble. No.
He should be a Bellardinelli fan, but he's not. You know. Yeah. But yeah, there's that. So you can also get them, and they're not expensive. They're like £20.
Right.
But big hardback, almost original size artwork.
Okay.
They're beautiful things. Yeah. There's a place called Expo. You'll see it, and it looks like someone has used a Sharpie on a bit of paper and just stuck it on the wall.
Right.
And if you go in there, there's a lot of the sort of hot new things. There's a lot of art in there. This year it's the Canada. So every year they choose a country, almost a special, you know, like they go, we're going to focus on Korea this year, Taiwan next year.
Right.
And this year it's Canada. And right by the Hergé statue, which is kind of what we were going to use.
Oh, yes, I walked past it, yeah.
There's a big, and in there there's some OA as well, some original art in there for sort of Canadian, Mariko Tamaki, Jeff Lemire, Seth, these sort of characters. And that's worth a look as well.
Okay.
But the thing is, like, I like the little pop-up ones. So you walk through the, you get two kinds of pop-up. You get one which is like an art exhibition, like, oh, you know, I don't know who this is. Like, you and I talk about comics every day.
Yeah.
And there's 90% of these people we don't know. We don't know who they are.
Yeah.
But you can love their art, you know. And then the other pop-up shops are the back issue pop-up shops. It's like having a pop-up comic mart.
Lovely.
Just in a little corner shop. There's an empty shop, so they've paid for it for 3 days.
Right.
And it wasn't there on Wednesday, and then Thursday afternoon, and suddenly there's like long boxes full of hardback books and stuff. So they're good as well.
Okay.
Yeah. It's like everywhere you look.
It's everywhere. Something. Yeah.
Yeah.
A quick word about manga, which of course is taking over the comics world.
Yeah.
And Angoulême, as I understand it, was slightly resistant to manga for several years and they didn't really embrace it. But then a few years ago they gave Otomo, is it? Katsuhiro Otomo, who's the Akira guy, they gave him the Grand Prix in 2015. And as you say, there's the Samura exhibition. Blade of the Immortal, I guess, is the name of it, I guess. Which we looked at, but they were like, they're huge and quite expensive, weren't they? The Blade of the Immortal collection.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, they were. We did, yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't, to be fair, honest, I haven't read it.
Nor me.
I mean, we dip our toe into manga every so often, but...
Well, you did a series on manga in your Never Iron Anything podcast, didn't you?
Yeah, and on the ACP. Manga Month.
Yeah.
And we chose a different creator because we were like hopelessly out of touch with it. And we said, I don't really want to read some of the more kid-friendly stuff that we see these days. I want to read some of the more classic stuff. So we learn about Tezuka and Shigeru Mizuki, you and I talked about, and these sort of people.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it's funny because in the rights tent, they have like a hall at the back, which is very sort of marketing talks,
right?
And this is why you should love the comics of Taiwan, and it's most, some of it's in English, and it's a good place to sit and have a coffee when it goes a bit crazy. But a couple of years before I ever came here, they had a how can we stop manga invading?
Oh right,
which is typical French kind of. I absolutely love the French's opinion on comics. You know, they're very protective of their art and all this thing. But they're like, how can we stop manga? Like that. And I think that was the thumb in the wall, and then the tidal wave just came through.
Yeah.
But there's if you go to the train station, did you see the manga?
Yes, the quarter, the manga quarter, yeah.
Yeah. And it looks like a samurai castle they built down there. And today will be majority manga. It's Friday, Saturday is majority manga, I think.
Right.
Yeah. So they've really, and I think I posted the French charts, which is a lot easier to access than the US charts, because you know we've always had that problem with. And it's Asterix, One Piece, One Piece, One Piece, One Piece, Tintin.
Right.
That's how it goes. Okay. So they've taken over.
Yeah.
It's a losing battle.
Yeah, and they certainly...
It's all comics, Eamon, but... You know,
that's right. They've certainly taken over our bookshops and our comic shops, it seems. You know, or Forbidden Planet, at least, you know, where the manga section expands every time I go in there and the comic section shrinks.
There's a set of shelves it shrinks back by, isn't there?
Yeah, I know, Okay, so it's a big presence here at Angoulême. There is lots to see. It is fascinating that the town does seem to just adopt it. And, you know, it's comics, comics, comics everywhere. I'm staying in a comics themed Airbnb. You are as well. Yeah. It seems like. Yeah. Okay. So lots to go and see. You're here because we are passing like ships in the night. Because actually, you're on your way out. And I'm on my way in, as it were.
Yeah, so we, because I came down with Nobrow, and we only did it, they only like to come down for the foreign rights stuff. In fact, Neve, who is our commissioning editor, she managed to get free, and we had a walk around yesterday, but Sam, who's the publisher, has just been in meetings non-stop.
Right. Oh, okay.
So there's no real, you can't move on a Saturday here. It's really mad. So I think he said, well, let's just get back on the Friday.
Right.
So you got here last night.
Yeah.
We met, what, about 8 o'clock or something, yeah. I think, outside the big light exhibition, and then we ended up having a pizza at like 10:30 last night.
Yeah. People on the continent eat very late, don't they? Unlike me. But anyway, yeah. Okay, so quick word about Nobrow, Tony, because you rep for them, and that's obviously why you're here. I don't know, how would we describe it? They're sort of like an independent publisher of.
They're independent about 15, 16 years now. Probably best known for the Hilda series of books, which is the Netflix TV series, which has been a big success story for them. I've sort of been helping out. I sort of dip my foot in and every so often and help out with stuff. And this has become a regular trip that Sam and I, as a publisher, come out. Sam Arthur's come out on. And I tend to have like a just changing roles, but spotting stuff is part of it. For example, I was sat in a coffee place just about 10 metres down there yesterday with my badge hidden, and two Italian blokes said, oh, are you into comics? Can we show you our comics? And I went, yeah, sure. Well, I was sitting there having a coffee, and they end up being absolutely brilliant comics, and then get handed on to Neve, the commissioning editor. So she sort of judges them, and they can't take everything. You know, don't be sending loads of stuff in because there's no promises they'll ever reply. But so I do that. But they're... they do a lot of kids' picture books as well.
Right.
They buy and sell in the foreign rights market. There's been a number of sort of TV series and stuff jumping out of there and upcoming. I'm really pleased to sort of at least just help out with it, really, because they're a great company. And they're a British company, yeah.
So as well as the Hilda books, obviously, which is hugely popular and famous, I wanted to mention one book, because if I'm right, Nobrow, it is, In Waves is from Nobrow, isn't it?
Yeah, so Nobrow is the adult imprint.
Right.
Flying Eye is part of Nobrow, but it's the kids imprint. Yeah.
So this book is called In Waves by AJ Dungo.
Yeah.
Which we've both read, and I'm going to guess we're both huge fans. I've heard you talk about it on your own podcast.
Yeah.
In Waves is... How would you describe it?
So In Waves is a really interesting book. So AJ Dungo, who is literally the sweetest comics creator you'll ever meet, he's the nicest dude. He's a surfer dude from California. But he came in with a school trip, a college trip, to see Nobrow. They do, occasionally colleges will visit and stuff. And he pitched the book to Sam. And Sam said, well, that's interesting, but have you thought about this element? And it's very much that thing we're missing a lot with editors these days is that collaboration with the creator. And they sculpted this book over a couple of years. So it's two things. One, sounds strange, but one is the history of surfing, which might be a bit dry to... I know you're a big surf guy. But it sounds like a bit dry to people who aren't into it. And the other one is a very tragic story about him and his partner who bonded through surfing. And I won't ruin it, but something happens.
Yes.
And it's incredibly touching. And I got it. I got the test print, the galley copy of it, and read it on a train, and got off the train. And rather than going in my car and driving home, I sat on the platform and had to finish it.
Yes,
it was very sad, but beautifully illustrated, and with use of different colours representing different areas of the story and stuff. Very clever. So a couple of years ago, we met with a couple of film type ladies, producers, and it's I think Principal Animation is. They're properly into principal animation, and I checked with him, and I could say this because I checked with him yesterday. And Sam saw a load of the animation day before yesterday, and he says it looks amazing.
Right.
And he said we can also say it's an announcement, not as massive an announcement, but they're doing black and white version of it.
Oh, okay.
Which is interesting for us as British comic readers because that's our bread and butter. But also as a slightly smaller size and like a manga book, because it'll do so well, it's it's hundreds of thousands of books have sold in France.
Right.
It's done brilliantly well. Massive seller for Nobrow as well. And it's just lovely to see. So if that goes well, that'll come out around the time of the movie.
Right.
To sort of promote it. But yeah, you can still get it in waves. I think it's on its second print or something.
Yeah.
AJ Dungo, and he's doing one on skateboarding now.
Right, yeah, because he's a big skateboarder and surfer, and as you say, it's a history of surfing, but it's also a history of their relationship and what goes wrong.
Yeah.
And it is incredibly sad, it's incredibly moving, and it is, although it's a chunky graphic novel, it's a one-sitting read, isn't it? Because you will just tear through it.
It's not, I mean, In Waves has a meaning, it has a sort of double meaning, but it's not super densely written. There's a flow to it. Yeah. You know, you follow it through and the peaks and troughs of his life. And then every so often you'll go, oh, John Smith, he invented the such and such board. Yes. And you go, okay.
Okay, so it is great. I love it. And I'm giving it to a friend of mine who's a surfer. And he's not a comic book reader, but he's a surfer. And I've told him, you'll love this. And soon to be an animated movie.
Yeah, quite soon actually. I mean, I think we did the deal 2 years ago.
Right.
Yeah. Which was quite, I won't say, but it was quite a funny instant of me blaring it in a bar, you know. I know nothing about that sort of thing, but just being enthusiastic about AJ's book. Yeah. So I also sort of, I think, carried it through, really. They love it as well, which is nice. Yeah. Same with the Hilda cartoon. You know, it's a great home for it.
Yeah.
You know, it's a great, it's not my cup of tea, but I can appreciate the craft and the ability in that book.
Yeah, you know? And it's hugely popular, isn't it?
Yeah,
Hilda. Yeah. Yeah. On Netflix, my daughter's a big fan.
So, oh, that's nice. Oh, good news. Yeah.
Okay, so that's Angoulême. That's Snowbrow. You've got to go and catch a train at some point. I've got to go and actually dive in and find out what's going on.
Fill your suitcase. Yeah.
Yeah. A quick word about your own projects, as ever, Tony, because you've got a blog and a podcast, Never Iron Anything, neverironanything.com.
Thank you for being one of the few people who likes it.
Yes. and you put out weekly, like, your favourite comic, new comics of the week, and, the tops and the bottoms.
Just the favourite thing I've read and the least favourite thing I think there. Then there's a massive distance between the two of those things often. So do that weekly. The podcast is, just had a busy time at work, so it's back on the thing. We're doing, as you've got Cliff Cumber and Ian Ashcroft, both who worked on Space War with Pat, are doing like an artist round table episode in a couple of weeks. So I'm looking forward to that. They're lovely. They've got such insight into it because they know it, they do it, so they're like you and I. We can admire it from a distance, but they're sort of touching the paper with their pens.
You've just done Mike Grell's The Longbow Hunters with Alan Henderson.
Slightly controversial.
Well, The Longbow Hunters is slightly controversial. There's a controversial point in it.
One single point in it. It's weird, isn't it?
Yeah, that you and Alan discussed in detail, which I thought was very interesting. And I mean, I loved that book when it came out as well.
Oh, good.
And I still do. And you and I have talked about a particular reveal that happens in that moment that is just, like, breathtaking.
Yeah.
But yeah, controversial, interesting stuff. You've done, if we mention previous Grand Prix winner Otomu, because you did a episode 116 was Domu by Kat Shuhiro Otomu.
Yeah, with Rich Sheaf, guest of your
show. Oh, our friend Richard Sheaf, mutual friend, yeah, good. And also, you and I had a great time recently on the Never Iron Anything podcast doing a bit of a dive into Ronald Searle.
Oh man, how good was that?
The creator of St. Trinian and Molesworth, as you know, I'm a huge Molesworth fan.
Yeah.
And that was fascinating because what a life.
Yeah.
Extraordinary.
Yeah, that was, you encouraged me with things like that. And you said, I think we should do this. I'm like, oh, I don't know enough about him. And then we end off like, I think I bought like 5 books on him. You sent me stuff.
Yeah.
It's like,
I've got so many Ron Searle books now. And of course, he ended up living in France. Another creator who moved to France.
It's true. I feel about that.
So neverironanything.com, you'll find the podcast and the blog.
Yes. Yeah.
And the other podcast, of course, the Awesome Comics podcast, the ACP, as we keep referring to it, comes out weekly.
Yep.
Two previous book clubbers, of course, Vince Hunt and Dan Butcher.
Of course, they've both been.
I've collected the whole set. Remind us, what's the Awesome Comics podcast?
It's mostly for small press, so the assistants to small press. We do stray into professional creators. We had Cullen Bunn on recently, but he was really interesting about talking about Kickstarters because he's a professional creator who's moved into the area of crowdfunding, you know, Zoop and Kickstarter and Indiegogo and all these sort of things. It seems to be the place that they're moving to, but it tends to be advice and a lot of blue language tends to be where it goes. Yeah, we got, I think you may well, if it all goes well on Sunday, you may well have just heard Bob Fingerman.
Right.
He's coming on. He's sort of a long-term buddy of ours. We love Bob. I think Bob's kind of the, is that underground guy that nobody talks about but should,
yeah,
be, because he's incredibly proficient.
Mm.
Yeah.
And yeah, you've done Never Iron Anything about him as well.
Yeah, he came on for that, yeah, one. Yeah, well, I've sort of been friends, like, since he, because he used to live in London, so he used to hang out a bit, you know, and he's lovely. He's the nicest guy. Although now he's moved to LA, so I call him Hollywood Bob now.
Right.
Which is quite nice. But yeah, so that's good. And we do, we each recommend a book. If you've got any comics events coming up, like conventions, or there's a new march starting up at Strange Apparitions up,
yes,
in
Lincoln,
yeah, up that way. Then give us a shout and we put it out on there. We've got like a Slack community, which is about 200 people, mostly small press creators of some kind, and they sort of, we chat and recommend and talk about different kinds of pens and different kinds of events, and there's a memes channel, and yeah, I've got my phone stuck into my belt and it's buzzing the whole thing. I know it'll be people,
right,
giving me SHIT constantly, you know, so it's a bit like that. But yeah, it's okay, man. Yeah, and thanks for helping out, because you were on there quite a lot. Yeah.
Well, this is the Awesome Comic Podcast Slack, which there's so much going on there that I can't keep up with it, to be honest. There's a couple of channels that I'm trying to stay in, but that's about it, yeah.
And that's where Drawn Under the Influence came from, which,
yes,
is what you kindly edited two of the issues.
I edited two issues of DUI, yeah. Yeah, nearly broke me, but yeah. and so awesomecomics.podbean.com comes out every week, comes out on a Monday.
Yeah.
Like I say, if the timey-wimey stuff works out, then last week's episode of the Awesome Comics Podcast, Bob Fingerman, but yep, also you will be doing a guide or that review of Angoulême.
But slightly different to this conversation, it won't be from a point of view of how would you go about getting there,
yeah,
and stuff like that. Because as you've experienced, I think you've done three trains, haven't you?
Yeah, yeah. Several trains, but the train from Paris to Angoulême.
Brilliant, isn't it?
Yes. I sent you a message while I was on the train that I was upstairs on a double-decker train that was on time, fast, clean,
yeah,
had a bar, had a guard who had a little cap on, and I was thinking, what's going on here?
I know, yeah.
The announcements on the train are in both French and English. Like, why can't we do that? Anyway, never mind. Let's not reform, yeah, British Rail.
Yeah.
Okay, so neverironanything.com, awesomecomics.podbean.com.
Thank you, mate. Cheers.
The links will be in the show notes. If you've got any questions about Angoulême, listen to Tony's podcast or send us a message and we'll try and answer them.
There's been a little group of us here, so
yeah.
Shout out to Simon Russell, who
Simon
had
Russell,
a drink with,
yeah,
yesterday.
Adam Foul.
Foulpie's here as well. What's his name? Jordan Barry Brown, he was
right
here,
yeah,
from Ireland, but
yeah,
buddy of ours. Yeah, it's been a little crew of people this,
yeah,
time. Yeah, it's been good.
Yeah. So if you're ever thinking about Angoulême, fire us some questions. We'll try and answer them. At least how to get here and how to find a room.
Yeah.
Much easier now. Tony, thank you very much.
Pleasure, absolute pleasure.
Yeah, fascinating stuff. This,
yeah,
is like a little bonus episode to just talk about a European
convention. It's been fun and it's been tiring, which is the best,
yeah,
way a convention should be. Yeah.
Well, I'm about to go and get more tired. Yeah, you're about to head
sore
home.
Feet and, yeah, tired, yeah, yeah.
Okay, so merci beaucoup, mon ami Tony. And thank you to everyone for listening to Mega City Book Club. As ever, find all these links at megacitybookclub.com. Follow the pods on Facebook, Instagram, Threads, Mastodon, probably on new social media called Nobrow, or the ACP Slack, and on the 2000 AD forums, or email me, mcbcpodcast@gmail.com. So until next time, when we're passing judgment on another great book, from here in Angoulême, goodbye from me.
And goodbye from me.
Au revoir. Bye.